Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, we exalt you. We exalt you. Malako. Dele bekies, oh Lord. E di frabe di benesi alla codosete. E di frebe di asso pelapa. Know this, saith the Spirit of grace, that the such like kinds of meetings which you give me authority to come and break down your will and turn that will over to the Father and stand in your stead and lose your identity for mine. Know this, with this, this brings about great pleasure from your Father. And the joy, His joy, that He experiences in these kinds of submissions turns over into your strength, saith the Spirit of grace, so that you're able to run your race without hindrance, unabated from the things of the strings and the entanglements of the flesh. Know this, great pleasure is in heaven when these things are accomplished. And know that your authority in the Spirit to change things and bring about significant change is brought to a new place in me when you find my anointing and my grace and you submit to that anointing and grace and give yourself over to humble yourself in my presence. Know that I surely, as your Lord and Savior, will exalt you. I'll exalt every man who humbles himself and brings himself to this place, and my exaltation will be the authority by which you pray for others and bring these things to pass according to my will, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. He's wanting to get out on our loved ones like never before. And judgment begins at the house of God. And that's not God being mean to you. It's you saying, okay, I'll humble myself. Let you come in and judge all the motivations of my heart. And when that happens, what happens is a superseding authority beyond authority. Whereas before you were saying, God, go get them. Go get them. Save them, Lord. And it just seems like nothing happening. Do you know faith and everything that causes God to be able to go and get them starts with you? You're thinking, go change them, change them. Why hadn't you changed them? And then all of a sudden you have a spiritual awakening. And then the next prayer that you pray seems like, oh, God just rushed in there and did something powerful. What did He do? Change His mind? Has He been on a coffee break for a year? No. The judgment begins with you, and then when you humble yourself and He can flow through you, then your prayers are unabated. Unabated. Well, I thought I could do whatever I wanted to, and it'd still go. No. Listen. He loves you. The only thing is, you're like one of those, what do they call them? Those colanders. Not a calendar. It's something you strain the water out of. All of the anointing has to come through you. So if it's being hindered, He even went so far to say, husbands, love your wives, that your prayers be not hindered. What? You could have your prayers not being answered just by the way you treated her. Wow, God, I didn't know that. Well, you better know it. I thought I could pretty much just tell her, come, fetch, do, be. I thought I could secretly have a little grumpy attitude towards her. And God had just, and then I could turn around and say, God, heal the sick. He said, the way you treat her will hinder your prayers. My God, I don't want anything hindered in my life. When I breathe and say, God, come and get a hold of my family, I don't want me to be the one who is praying to be the one that's holding up the answer. Well, this is where judgment begins. Judgment's inside of you. It's your heart. And you might as well know they need us. They need our prayers more than ever before. Listen, you know what the devil's after? He's after them, but what he's really after is See, here's the problem. Here's the major problem. A four-year-old can't drive themselves to church. A five-year-old, a six-year-old, right on up to 15, 16, then they can. But by that time, listen, it's not that God won't forgive sin and that He won't forgive gross sin. They could be out there, they could leave the church, and many of them have. But for God's sake, what the problem is, it's not that they leave the church and then come back at 2 or 3 years later, or 4 or 5 years later and repent. My God, the blood of Jesus. The only problem is, while they're out there, they took their little ones with them. And they're not, the little ones don't come if mom and daddy don't come. And the little ones are growing up year after year, becoming young men, young women, without God's influence in their life. And the problem is, when mom and daddy want to repent, that doesn't mean the kids are ready to repent. They've had 10 years of sowing the world into them. And the mom and dad say, "Oh God, forgive me. I've been lost for 10 years. Forgive me." Then they want the kids to snap out of it. It's not that easy. They won't snap out of it. They've had the discipleship of the world. They come back in. "God, where were we at? My God, we lost our mind. We blew it for 10 years. And God says, "I love you." And then they say, "Come on, kids." And the kids say, "I'm not ready. I want a party." And you can't snap your fingers and say, "Serve God." When the mamas and daddies leave, they take their babies with them. And they grow them up under a world system. And then when the mom and daddies repent, the kids don't repent. That's why they need our prayers every day. It's not that we've got like, there must be 10 families that are out there with their little kids. Those kids are growing up every day. Mom and daddy will eventually come back. But we got to pray for all the bunch. Mom and daddy need to get back quick. If they got back today, it'd still be a process. It'd still be a process. But guess what? Services like this, He can come in with a clearinghouse effect, sweep us on the inside, get us all cleaned out. And then when we say, "Jesus, go get them," the hound of heaven, woo, He just loosed all them hounds after them. The hounds of heaven go after them. The Holy Spirit's, He's tugging at their door every day, every day, every day. Every day, "Papa, you know, I'm having a good time. Now, ain't nobody going to tell me to put my beer down. I'm going to watch what I want to do. And, you know, I mean, I'm going to heaven too." All of a sudden, the Holy Ghost comes on him. "My God, I'm sending my family to hell. What am I doing here?" They wake up. They wake up. They wake up. They say, "My God, I'm raising, you know, that little guy I used to think when he cursed it was cute. Now he's big enough to curse me. It's not cute anymore. I better get him back to church." They start waking up and they say, "My God, forgive me. Come into my life again. I repent of my sins. We got to get this family straight again." My God, that releases the Holy Spirit to go out and get them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. I worship you. I praise and magnify you. Oh, hallelujah. Why don't you just bless him right now? And the rest of it's just an afterglow. But you might as well put the buckets up. You don't have to turn there. You can just sit and listen and pray in the Holy Ghost and worship God and just enjoy the presence you're under. But if you want to turn, it's St. John, the Gospel 16. Hallelujah, Jesus. From 13 through 17, Jesus is going. This is the Last Supper. And He's going away. He's not going to be with His disciples anymore in this world. And He's talking to them. What would be, just say, if I'm with you and you're looking to me for leadership and you're talking to me and I've led you around and you've followed my lead for 3.5 years. And we're sitting down for the last time that we'll ever eat together. Do you know what the main emphasis was? What's the last words I can tell you? Well, two things. He wanted them to love one another. Yes, sir. Love one another. And He wanted them to become totally, utterly, sold out on the dependency of the one that he was going to leave behind. And that was the Holy Ghost. That was the Holy Ghost. Now, in chapter 14, in verse 16, he says, I pray the Father. Now, this is all one sit-down supper from 13 through 17. But in 14, 16, he says, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. For he was talking to his disciples, he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Hallelujah. Sometimes we think about the Holy Spirit and we say, Jesus sent, and that's right, he talked to his disciples like this, I'm sending you the Holy Ghost. So we think, that's the only way he could talk to them where they could understand. But we think the Holy Spirit had his bags packed, his satchel, and he was coming from heaven. Here we go. Here we go. I'm descending on earth. I've got a long journey here. And I've been coming from the Father for a long time. Didn't Jesus just say he's already with you? In fact, all the Old Testament saints had him with them. The prophets prophesied by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit had been here. He wasn't coming from some other planet. He had been here ever since man had been created. The only thing was, he was waiting on something pending. What was pending? Your born-again salvation. Your new nature. He was with them, but Jesus said, the hour's coming, he's going to be in you. Hallelujah. You know, the problem is, we don't use the supplemental strength, and that's putting it lightly, that's been provided for us. The Holy Ghost was like, all I can see, in all due respect, like a giddy child waiting for the moment when he could get in. When he could get in. He's standing around the disciples saying, I'm around you, but I want to get into you. I want to get into you. I want to get in. And you're talking about a dichotomy? You're talking about something on opposite ends of the spectrum? For decades and millennials or times and seasons, just for 4,000 years, man had been trying to get into God. You want to read some real, except through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, some boring to us now because of types and shadows? Go back to Exodus, Leviticus. Read hour after hour. There was the outer court. This is how you approach God. The outer court was, well, none of us, unless there's, and I say this respectfully, if there's a Jewish person in here, all the rest of us, whether we're Hispanic, black, white, we were all considered Gentiles. We could not even, or a woman could not even go into the first court. Even if you were a Jewish woman, you could not. That's not nice. You couldn't even step into the outer court. The outer court, there was a huge curtain that was made. It gives length and depth and everything. You know, this thing half the size maybe of a football field. And this huge curtain went around it. Nobody knew what was going in or coming out. Just, you know, certain ones could go in. The men could go in. There was the outer court. And then there was the inner court. And the inner court, you know, had the candlestick and the shewbread and different things. That was the next curtain that you crossed into, the next courtyard. And it was a little bit smaller. But the final place that only the high priest could go into, and that was the holies of holies. And if he went in there with sin in his life, he got struck dead.
Everybody was trying to approach God, and God was trying to teach them one thing. I'm really not like you see me as right now. What I'm trying to show you is that without the blood of my Son, this is how you are. You can't come to me, but one day I'm going to come to you. One day, you've all been trying to get to me for centuries, and you go from this place into another place, and that eliminates a bunch of people, and then only one guy can come in there, and he has to have blood on him, and the blood was supposed to be the blood of the Lamb, the true Lamb. Do you know what happened on the day when Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead? You don't have to go to Him anymore. He come out of there to you. The curtain was rent. God came to us. He said, you don't have to come in here anymore. I'm hunting you. I'm coming out. I'm splitting the curtain. The Holy Ghost was giddy. He was like, I can't wait to get I'm wanting to get in them. Jesus, can you hurry up and die? Can you hurry up and resurrect? Because I'm wanting to get in them. Can I do it now, Father? No, He hadn't resurrected. Can I put a finger in there? No. No, Jesus hadn't. Can I put a toe in there? No. Just wait. Just a minute. You've waited for 4,000 years. God says, I've been contained in this little thing called the Holies of Holies. Now the Holies of Holies is going. It's going afield. It's going afield. It's going out there. It's going to get in. And the Holy Ghost is going, oh, He's dancing like a little boy needing to go to the bathroom. I want to get in there. I want to get in there. Let me in there. I'll clean up their conscience. They thank God that you're this mean, ugly Wizard of Oz thing sitting behind a curtain. I can't wait to get in there and show them that you are the Papa that wants to love on them and be their God and be their Father and be their Savior. I want to just jump on the inside of them, clean them up, and show them how much you love them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus said, He's with you, but He's going to be in you. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Now, by the time he keeps talking, when he gets over to 16, verse 17, he's still talking about this comforter. He said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Oh boy, Jesus couldn't do anything else. It is expedient, meaning it is beyond measurable explanation of how important it is that I get this done. It's expedient for you that I go away. For if I do not go away, if I go not away, the comforter will not come unto you. They're thinking like he's a long ways off. He's right there in the room. But the coming to them was they had to be born again. And the only way they could be born again, Jesus had to go somewhere. And where he was going into hell for us. And he was going to be resurrected so that you and I could likewise go into hell. We could be resurrected and we could be born again after his nature. He says, the Comforter, if I go not away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He is come, He'll reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. We could teach on those three things, but that's not our mission right now. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judge. Listen to this. Please get this. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. What was he saying? I've got a lot of other stuff I want to talk to you about, but you can't bear it now. Meaning, you can't even understand the full gravity of what I want to say. You're not even born again, so you don't have a nature. It'd be like me trying to teach Chinese to 5-year-olds that, you know, they're just learning it by letter. They're not assimilating it. They're just every once in a while hearing it, and they're just coming in and out. It wouldn't make sense. It wouldn't make sense to you. I can tell you the truth, but you wouldn't understand it. But you're about to be born again. Then you're going to have a nature like mine. But he says this, I have many things to say. Now let's get this straight. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If you have a red letter edition, that's telling you what words Jesus said. Basically, Jesus was saying, I didn't get it said while I was here. I didn't say all that I want to say. I said enough to get you to heaven, but I have a lot more to say to you. You personally. I want to talk to you. I didn't get it all said in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There's much more. There's much more I want to get over to you. But right now, you can't. They couldn't. But the hour was coming when they could. And we're in that hour. This is that has come. Hallelujah. He said, 12, he says, I have many things yet to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, now listen, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He'll do what? Guide you into all truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For He will not speak of Himself, meaning He'll not speak on His own behalf. But whatsoever He hears, like the Holy Spirit's here, He gets inside of you. And then whatever He hears Jesus and the Father say, that shall He speak. Who's He going to speak it to? He's going to speak it to you. And He'll show you things to come. Now, when we read this, we try to get so spiritual with it. And we should be spiritual. But when He says that He will guide you into all truth, does it say all or partial truth? All truth. Truth is this, the mind of Christ. Facts are something else. But truth trumps facts. The doctor may say you've got cancer in your body. And medically he could prove that. That's a fact. But the truth is, God's Word says, with His stripes you're healed. Hallelujah. When we speak, when He says all truth, He's talking about the Holy Spirit, this Comforter. He'll comfort you. He'll comfort you. Well, how does He comfort me? Does He comfort me by speaking to me a lot of things that I'm not even understanding yet from the Word of God? Listen, the Holy Spirit comes and His objective is this, grow you up in Christ. Everything in your life, whether it's finances, whether it's the healing of your body, whether it's down to just the molecular, minute structure of your life, God wants to introduce His truth into your thought patterns. He wants to get His truth over to you. So He doesn't start talking to you. The Holy Spirit doesn't talk to you in ways that you can't understand. He talks to you on grassroots level. I mean the very thing that you've been thinking about, if you'll allow Him to, all truth, that is God's mind for your truth, for your life and for your hour, He'll get that truth over to you. Now I know that the all truth is the Word of God. I know that. But somehow the Holy Spirit's got to transfer that truth over to your thinking. So right in the middle of you thinking about all the other stuff that makes up your life, your concerns about this, your job on Monday, your wife, your husband, the problems you're having with your mind, this, that, and the other, your emotions, the Holy Spirit wants to introduce all truth over into that. Now, He said many things I've wanted to say. Many things. But I've not got them all out yet. Listen, the Word of God. Let me ask you this. How many would enjoy, wouldn't it be neat if there was a book of whoever, a book of Terry, for Terry? You wouldn't sell it. But I mean, after you were born again, the Holy Ghost walked up and said, here, Terry, here's the book. I'll have to keep this for time. You know, for however old you are, every day when you turn there, there'll be a new page. It'll have that exact date. What's today's date? The 3rd? 8-3-0-8 will have every from the time you wake up, what would be best for you to eat, where you should go, what you should do. This will make you the happiest, most productive, most power-filled life. It will be the book of Kirsten, Javarius, Ralph, Matt. My God, would we make less mistakes in our life? I just think that's the greatest guy in the world. Let me see what I'm going to go into partnership with that guy. Let's see. Fix me my cup of coffee, Precious. And Yeah, what are you going to, you going to sign that contract today? Yes, I am. Yep, because, man, I have thought about this guy. He's a great guy, great guy. Let me, oh, by the way, let me look at the book of Bronk here this morning. Okay, I'm waking up. My God. God put his name in here. Oh, my God. He said, this guy's a crook. He'll stab me in the back. He won't pay me the money he owes me. But God showed me right here how to get past him and go into another. My God, if I had not had this, I was about ready to do something stupid with my life. Somebody said, my God, I would love to have that book. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, is your personal guide on a daily basis. He has been sent to guide and to lead you into all truth. If you will pray in the Holy Ghost, you have a teacher that will open up his book to you on a personal basis. You shouldn't get to the place and say, man, God, I don't know why I did that. I look back now. Hey, and every one of us has got, you know why they say 2020? Hindsight's 2020. Do you know, somebody will say, well, maybe God did it to teach me a lesson. No, the lesson he wanted you to know was this. You've been sent a comforter, and he's got a book. Somebody said, well, I just read the Bible. Listen, the Bible is, it is our roadmap. But the Bible does not have all the technical. It has the principles that you should live by. It has the conviction. But this Bible does not have all the technical choices in it. You can't read it and figure out, should I do that or should I go over there or shouldn't I go over there? Should I get involved with this person or should? You can't read this Bible and get that out of it. It doesn't have a verse by verse on your life. But he said, I have many things to say to you. Well, how are you going to get them over? The one I'm giving you, the Holy Ghost, he'll speak these things to you on a daily basis if you'll listen to him. He'll show you how to come out of bad economies. He'll show you how to walk through it and say, okay, Holy Spirit, show me today. Teach me today. Well, I'm going to read the Word. You can get scriptures out of there like, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that, you know, seek the Lord will not want any good thing. That'll build up your spirit. That'll make you strong. But what will come as a result of those foundation will be the technical kinds of close line instruction that the Holy Spirit will give you if you will allow Him to. Folks, how does He transfer this? 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says He does it not with words with man's wisdom, but with words which the Holy Spirit teaches. Hallelujah. Meaning this, the Holy Spirit can speak to you as a born-again believer. He can. But if you want the transfer, if I go to a person and say, look, I want to buy something from you, and you tell me how much it is. I want to buy that purse. You say, okay, this is how much it is. I pull out of my pocket the money and I say, okay, here's the transfer. That's how I purchase that. Listen, the way that you purchase more knowledge, the way, if you want to put it in that sense, the way that knowledge, because look, you can be filled with the Holy Ghost. You may not believe this, and you may want to stone me for it, but you can be full up with the Holy Ghost. Well, you couldn't really, because the way that you get full up is keeping yourself in the love of God, praying a lot. Let's just say you could be baptized in the Holy Ghost. You could have the capacity to pray in tongues. Man, you come one time and got filled, and you could go dog broke with the instructor of the most genius. You could have the Holy Ghost in you and almost lose your mind. Well, Pastor, you could have the Holy Ghost in you and hate everybody. Well, Pastor, what good is he? He's no good to you unless you put him to work. I got 100 men out there to work for me. I don't have no money. Well, let me see what your men are doing. They're all sitting under the shade trees. They're not working. They're employees. The Holy Spirit is employed by God to work for you. But He will not and cannot go to work unless you put Him to work on a daily basis. And when you pray in the Holy Ghost, He's able to transfer that. And when you get quiet, then He'll go to you and say, look, here's a book of Terry. Terry, read read the page for the day. And in essence, when she stops and she listens, the wisdom and the mind of Christ fills her life so much so that there is a particular... The Scriptures won't tell you who to go to see. They can't. They're not statistical. They won't tell you in that sense. Your spirit won't tell you in the morning, get up, go over there at 357 such and such avenue and see that man and he'll... Your spirit doesn't work that way. But the Holy Ghost can tell you, get up, go over there, apply for that job, and the wisdom of God can give you your own specific book to walk out of every problem in your life. Hallelujah. But you got to put Him to work. You got to put Him to work. Well, I'm not filled with the Holy Ghost. I can tell you, you can get filled real quick. What do I need to do, Pastor? Just start speaking in tongues if you're born again. Well, I've been mean and ugly, and that don't matter. Don't put the cart in front of the horse. The Holy Spirit has come to lead and guide you into all truth. And part of that truth is to clean up your life. Hallelujah. Don't wait for Him to come. Go ahead and let this one who was giddy on the outside, now that he's on the inside, now that you've been born again, put Him to work. Put Him to work. It's not just about money. It's about every part of your life. Your book has been written. It's all in the mind of Christ. But you can't go in here. There's 66 books, but you can't go in here and there's no book in here that will tell you where to go and apply for employment. But He said, I got many things I'd like to talk to you. I got a lot of stuff to say to you. And I couldn't even get it all in a book. That's why I sent the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How many have enjoyed this morning? Yes. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We've had such a wonderful day. No, hey, please. I said I don't want to act like the big shot, but I'll shut you down, brother. And then I'll repent later. Somebody else had a birthday yesterday. I know how modest she is, so I won't mention her name. I'll just give her initials, Barbara Fish. So. Kathy, when do I go to New York? Next Sunday? This coming Friday. When you bring this up, I'm going to have some of you, the elders and the guys and different... Anybody wants to come? We've been sending Candy and I off on these missions. There we go very seldom. Pastor Homer will be ministering next week, and all the elders around him, and Rex and Nat, and all you guys, and Reuben and Ralph, and all the ladies, and you know the prayer warriors will be here. Listen, you know what I really enjoy? Somebody said, well, if you announce those things, you may not... I really enjoy putting that out there because I know that we're headed... Now, here's the deal. We may lose some people that don't come sometimes when they know the pastor's not here. But I'm going to tell you something. If we had to live like that, to me, now just to me, that'd be the same way, the same thing as having to have clown faces painted and dunking tanks on Sunday morning, bozo clown faces. We're advertising everything we can, free hot dogs in the parking lot, dunking tanks after church, during service. We're after revival. Well, I've got 5,000 in my church. Wonderful. That's wonderful. If you can squeeze, crank down the power, squeeze it all into one thing, you may get a sick chihuahua healed. You may get his bark back. I'm not coming next Sunday because my clown face is not... Pastor's not going to be there and my clown face is not going to be painted. That's none of you. Homer will be here. That's not nice, Candy.
Hallelujah to God. We're after a revival. I can't wait until those revival, and it's, you know, it was about basically here this morning. That's revival. That level of love was revival status, folks. That's what we're going to just feel. It's just going to be that same level intensified, or that same presence intensified right in the middle of it. Hallelujah. We're all seeking ways, His way, to call ourselves dead. Hallelujah. Just to lose ourselves. Thank you, Jesus. I'd like for you to get this offering ready and just believe God with us. In fact, let me just pray. Father, I thank You. As well as everything else around here is supernatural. I believe You. Along with these women and men that are believers, that all the monies that we need for this outpouring and what we need presently for all our present income, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You that You speak to our hearts. I thank You that it's supernatural. As well as the love came here this morning, I thank You that that same love speaks to our hearts and we become part of this provision in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.